I had actually a discussion topic, which is, as you can see on your player, communication, part two. But before I dive into that topic, there's an interesting comment from somebody about feeling fear, and I just wanted to discuss that first, because I thought it was very relevant to many people, to many situations that we face. Now, if you connect to your body, you connect to the cells of your body, you are in communication with these cells, and they send back to you a comment or a feedback that there is fear everywhere in our cells, that is something incredibly significant. I'm going to put a little bit more light on me. Now, fear is something which is which actually affects us on a cellular level. If you think about it, when you are afraid, let's say you are in a situation in a dark place, and all of a sudden there is some like banging sound or something you don't know what the cause of it is, you go, and every cell in your body is affected by this fear. Now, that is a normal bodily reaction. For example, our adrenal glands have this capacity or characteristic to pump out hormones which assist in the fight or flight syndrome, whether to stand and fight or to run like mad. So idea that cells capture the energy, cells capture the emotion of a person is understood by all of us from that example. It's also understood by all of us even when we're totally in love. The whole body seems to float down the street. All the cells seem to just float and our health improves immediately. Now, the cells are not separate from us. They are part of us. They are affected by our energy in all ways. And as we were talking about last week, our capacity to visualize, our capacity to send energy to the various parts of our body in meditative ways is what enables us to cure problems within our body. It's what enables us to affect our body very strongly because we have conscious control over these cells. And we can also make ourselves sick. Now, how do we make ourselves sick? Well, we do it out of anger, being very, very angry, which affects the liver or the gallbladder or the spleen, by being very, very stressed, which affects the whole body, by being filled with fear, or by having unresolved conflicts. These things cause the cells to distort and create cancer or other diseases. And when you look into your body, when you communicate, which is the whole point of this discussion, when you communicate with your cells, they start telling you things about your emotions. They start telling you things about the way in which your energy is feeding them. So in other words, we feed ourselves with our energy. Our energy is mainly made of our emotions or the way in which we project ourselves. And therefore, when we speak to ourselves and get feedback, we find out what it is we have been feeding ourselves. So when we listen, we look into an emotional mirror. We look into an energetic mirror. And when we look into this mirror, we see an image of ourselves which we may not like. We may see that we are not what we think we are. We may see that the way we feel is not really what we think we should be feeling, or we become disappointed in what actually we are. Like, for example, in the person who asked this question, this person said, "My cells told me that I'm living in a state of constant fear. I felt from them this fear by looking in this mirror." Well, I think that's a wonderful feedback. I think that you are very lucky to get such a feedback. Fear can devour us. Fear devours. That's the whole nature of it. It devours our consciousness. It devours our good qualities. It devours our capacity to feel anything else but fear. It rules our life. And if you think about it from the point of view that there is only really love or fear, at the ultimate issue, it's either you give your love or you are afraid to. Because love is unconditional, doesn't depend on anything from others. So when you are filled with fear and this emotional or psychic mirror of yourselves is telling you this, it is devouring your capacity to love. And a life without love is not worth living. Therefore, it doesn't matter what situation you are in. It doesn't matter what you do or how much you achieve or how much money you have or how you feel about anything. Without that love, life is not worth living. So you could change any external thing you want. It won't make a difference. And it's all because that fear has devoured the very essence of what makes you happy in life. One could also relate extreme anger to fear. One could also relate frustration to fear. Anything that makes us feel that what we really wanted is being stopped, or what we wish to have is being stopped, and I can't accept that, can somehow or another devour our capacity to be happy through love. And therefore, one should also ask this mirror. You probably remember the fairy tale which said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, tell me who's the fairest of them all." You can ask the cells. You can ask the mirror. Why? And now we are exactly on the point of today's discussion. So it was amazing that this question was asked. Because the whole key to this kind of perception of that mirror, this whole key to understanding what it is that's devouring my capacity to love, is communication. So this communication is actually the key to awareness, the key to knowledge. And we have also read in Bhagavad Gita or other religious literatures that knowledge is the key to burning up reactions, is the key to burning up the consequences of situations we have become entangled in. Knowledge and awareness are actually intimately linked. Extremely intimately linked, because knowledge and awareness give us the means by which we can perceive in this mirror clearly and wish to perceive clearly in this mirror of our cellular existence, the mirror of our energetic existence. Now, there are a few important factors which create an optimal configuration within us for being able to communicate. Now, most people enter into communications either because they want something or they're forced to. But neither of these two motivations are very advantageous or conducive to expanding the capacity for awareness. One is kind of being a beggar, and the other is kind of being forced. neither of these situations are advantageous because they are in a situation of either intense desire or fear. And wherever desire is mixed into the communication becomes distorted. And wherever one is forced into a communication, one feels threatened and the communication is distorted. So whenever communication is distorted, it is not pure. It is not highly tuned to the person you're communicating with. Let's consider the situation of a person who's communicating with their selves, as we discussed last week, who receives back some feedback, who's looking in the psychic mirror of the self. If they are not motivation free of motive, if they are not desireless in what they are viewing, and if they are not freed from fear, their communication with the psychic mirror of the self, with the cells, will be distorted. And anything that is distorted like this does not give us the gift. It should give us the gift of the pure, clear communication. Therefore, I feel it is very important for our group of people who are associating in this way to develop psychic capacities. Now, I'm sure you're all psychic in your own ways, and I don't mean to say you're not. But because clarity of the communication, the two-way clarity of the communication is so important for self-awareness, for self-development, for self-evolution, and for ultimately having contact with the Supreme, I feel it's a very important point to strengthen. One of the most important and probably the primary principle in psychic capacity is to remove one's own energy from the communication process. Now, obviously, we use energy in any of our psychic activities. However, we are speaking here about not using that energy in a pushy kind of a way, not using that energy in a way in which things are distorting because of our pushing them to be distorted, pushing them to be some kind of a way. In other words, being devoid of influence in that way. So, we are talking here about neutrality. We are talking here about acceptance. We are talking here about simply becoming an antenna, simply becoming a receiver, a satellite dish, a means by which you can capture in a broad and focused and effective manner a signal coming from elsewhere. You will understand clearly what I mean if you try to understand what another person is sending to you, or you try to understand something deeply about a person which is not obvious or not spoken. I will tell you something, an example of what I mean by this. Most people have had an experience of one time or another of feeling there was a ghost around or feeling there was some kind of entity around and becoming afraid and wanting to repel it immediately. And most people think of it in terms of being haunted, think of it in terms of some kind of energy which is dark, which is bad, which is fearful. They feel it, they fear it, they judge it, they condemn it, all very quickly in their minds. Yet those who work with such beings understand that, first of all, they're trying to make a contact. They're desperately trying to make a contact. In many cases, people who in their lives have had this difficulty of communication, who were not able to make contact with others, or who rejected the contact that others were trying to give to them, had to experience what that rejection means to themselves. Can you imagine? You're trying to communicate with a person in life, and you reach out for that person, and the person just goes, ah, and runs away. How would you feel? You become more disturbed. And you say, wait, wait, I don't mean any harm, wait. And then the person feels more energy coming at them. And they go, ah! And that's exactly what is happening. These beings desperately need connection. They desperately need contact. They desperately need somebody to understand their situation, to empathize with it and give them help. So they come to you, you freak out. They say, no, you freak out more. And why is it? Because you don't perceive them because of lack of clarity. Because of lack of clarity, they are an unknown factor, and we fear the unknown. And not only do we fear the unknown, but we fear their effect upon us, and we fear not being able to deal with them. So part of the negativity around the world is there are a lot of disembodied beings who have lost connection, lost contact with the world, yet cannot move on, cannot move beyond the situation they're in. And if we ignore them and we just say, they're not important, we shouldn't bother with them, this is not spiritual, then we are allowing another chunk of negativity to coat the planet. And what is negativity ultimately? It is the pain of living beings. The pain of the people who are damaged by war, the pain of abused children, the pain of abused women, the pain of the hungry, the pain of the poor, the pain of the animals, and even the pain on the etheric level, the pain on the mental level of beings who cannot find their way anymore. After wide-scale natural disasters where many tens or hundreds of thousands of people are killed, the world is filled with such personalities with difficulties. And aware workers of the light are dedicated towards assisting them, helping them to go to the next destination, to progress in their destinations. Now you may say, well, what does this have to do with me? But I say that you have the capacity right now to do a lot for these people. And don't forget, this is just one example of communication, but it is a way to discuss how to do good and how to develop our capacities at the same time. I have taught this technique to just regular people who have also used it successfully, but to be quite honest, it very much depends on your power. It very much depends on your capacity to focus your etheric energy and visualize exactly what you are doing in a deeply meditative state, but have power as an individual, strength internally. The first power is to have enough courage to not be afraid. You feel the energy. It makes a tingling. It resembles a fearful thing. It's the way in which their energy connects to us. But if you just don't accept it as fearful, then it's not. Many of these beings have resigned themselves to the fact that they're just going to float around here and there and scare people. Boom! And because they are so desperate for some kind of contact, they know this is the only thing we can do, so they do that for fun. So the way a person who's aware does it, they feel that boo energy, and they go, oh, there's somebody here. They stop, they situate themselves in awareness, and face that entity and say, hello, how may I assist you? That immediately changes the whole thing, because nobody does that. And immediately they're very grateful, unless they're very nasty. That's another situation, but they're very grateful. So you can ask them, do you wish to go to the light? Do you wish to get out of this situation? Almost always they will say yes. So you say, there will be this tunnel opening up just above, and it will go up into the light. You raise your hands in the air And I will push you up there, and you just keep on going straight up. And when they say, yes, you can do a meditative movement of bringing the energy focused in one place, chanting your favorite mantra if you like, and then you can just capture their energy and then push them up forcibly with power up into that tunnel and create a huge draft of air to blow them all the way up until you see them go into that light and you feel relieved for their sake. Any of you can do that. Anybody who has gone through these various meditations, this various work that we have done, can do that right now. It's just a question of your desire. And every time you do something like that, you develop greater confidence in yourself. You develop greater awareness of the pain of people in such situations. You perform a great service to these persons. And you perform a great service to the world to allow this negativity to be reduced. So you can... Now, naturally, this is not your main business. It's not your constant activity. It's not your profession. But it's just one more tool in the psychic toolbox. And even more interesting, you start to be able to understand when people that you are talking to or people that you are in association with have accepted such energies within their own bodies. You can see it, you can feel it, and you can feel the pain because of it. And when you have practiced this enough, you can even do an exorcism on such people. Just put them laying down, you put your hands the same exact way, and instead of just pushing them up, you pull them out of that body and then up and away. But this time you don't ask that person if that's what they want, the disembodied being. You don't ask them, may I do that? You do it with your power. You force them out because they don't belong in there in the first place. They're invading somebody's house like a burglar. So you just grab them and shoot them up. This is another demonstration of your power. If you can, when we all get together and hold etheric hands, create that fire to burn up negativity, you can do this too. It's just a question of practice. It's just a question of believing in yourself. It's just a question of having enough confidence in yourself that you say, I can do. I can do. Maybe not powerfully and perfectly in the beginning, but it'll develop. It's a muscle. It's a muscle. The more you use the muscle, the stronger it gets. And it's not that you're fat and flabby. You know, you weigh hundreds of kilos. And you're going to have to do exercises for the next 10 years and fast to get skinny. You already have psychic muscles. You already have that energetic capacity. You've been using it now for years. So here we get to the main points of communication. Number one, you have to have enough faith in yourself that you believe you can communicate with others. As soon as you say, I can't, then you can't, because you limit yourself. You're the only one that limits yourself this way. We are expert at limiting ourselves. We are so expert at keeping ourselves down. It's hard to understand why. It's hard to imagine why we would do such a thing to ourselves. But basically, we don't really love ourselves. We don't really have that confidence in ourselves. So first, we have to believe in ourselves. Now, that's not difficult to do. You just have to determine that, yes, I can do this. I believe in me enough that I can do this. Now, don't say, oh, I can do this, and then go out and say, oh, I failed, and lose all confidence. Don't have that expectation. Just say, I can do this, and I shall now try. And the next stage or the next point of this would be that you want to. Because even if you think you can, that thinking you can doesn't mean anything
until you want to.
I believe I can walk down the street and meet a stranger. I can communicate with that person in any way I want, but I don't necessarily want to, therefore I won't. Being able to do want to, being able to do something and wanting to do it are not necessarily connected. So both these factors have to be connected for a communication to take place. So having such kinds of desire is an important thing. It's an important thing because if you wish to be a worker in the light, if you wish to be a agent of the good, you have to believe that you can be one, and you have to want to be one. These are the foundational motivational principles upon which everything's based. Now, in a psychic communication, you have to not only have those two, but you have to be totally neutral. There is no room for judgment. There is no room for condemnation. And there is no room for projection in such a communication. For example, in projection, because you understand judgment and condemnation. Let's talk about projection. If I am sitting and I'm going to communicate with somebody, and I project how I would feel if I was in their situation, or I project that they would think like I would think, the communication is already unclear. It's cloudy. And because of that, we always judge others on the basis of how we see ourselves. So if somebody else is doing something that we would not like in ourselves, we condemn them because we are condemning them for doing what we would not do. So we are projecting ourselves to be them and condemning them for the way in which we feel about ourselves. But neutrality requires we do not extend our energy. That's what I was saying before about pushing our energy. We do not extend our energy over to the other. We act like an antenna, not a broadcaster. We act as a receiving antenna, not a broadcaster. And what does an antenna do? It just receives. And an antenna doesn't start thinking, oh damn, I'm not getting any signal today. It just simply receives. If a lot of signals come, it receives them. If one comes, it receives them. If nothing comes, it just waits to receive. As far as I've seen, there's no person who doesn't want to broadcast their call for help. Everybody wants to have some kind of input that's positive in their lives. Now, the situation would require that we just try to tune to them, tuning to the other person on that frequency of receiving the picture or receiving the thought pattern or receiving the words or even connecting to their past requires that we tune to them in all ways. We are born with this tuning capacity because we tune to our parents. We tune especially to our mother. We tune to our father. We tune to our brothers and sisters. We tune to our dogs. We tune to our friends. We do it automatically. But the problem is that we don't want to tune to somebody because it means that we accept their vibration, and we think that accepting their vibration is going to affect us. So we think we already have enough problems, we don't want to be affected by this other person's tuning, by tuning to this other person's vibration, so we push them away psychically. Now make no mistake, if you just tune to somebody without any preparation, it will definitely affect you. It will definitely affect you. And it can affect you very negatively as well. Now, how do you deal with that? How do you place yourself in a situation where it does not enter into you and where you do not absorb it? Now, I ask you, why is it that doctors are in a hospital, doctors and nurses, all the time are in hospitals, all the time meet patients with every conceivable kind of disease, yet they very rarely get sick? But if you or I are to go in and meet these same people, we get sick with whatever they got. Now, I'm quite sure these doctors don't consciously do it, but they actually defend themselves quite well because they have this attitude. I'm the doctor. I'm the nurse. I'm here to help you who need my help. You are sick. I am the cure. I'm the one who takes care. So they have divided themselves totally as patient and doctor. And patient is sick, doctor is not sick. And because of that mental separation, it is so. So when that distinction is made so strongly and clearly, it protects you. Because your energy now tunes to that concept. You've tuned your energy to this concept that you are not going to be affected. Similarly, you can feel disembodied beings, but you are the one who helps them. You don't get affected by them. You can't absorb their energy because you are sending it up. And if they don't like that, if they fight with you, then you burn them up with fire. Because you are in the superior position. They need your help. You give your help. It makes a distinction. You don't need help. They need help. You give help. They take help. Now, when you are going to tune, when you wish to have a connection with another psychically, you are doing it out of the compassion and empathy for that person to help them become aware, to help them understand something they need to understand. So you are the doctor, they are the patient. This creates a tuning between the two where you're being tuned as the observer, as the one who is going to view into their situation and reveal it. But it is not that because you do that, you will have no feeling. You will have no experience of their lives. You will have no experience of their energy. Not at all. You will experience it because otherwise how can you describe it? How can you help them? You will experience it. You will feel it. And sometimes you will experience or feel it in such a way that it is very shocking to you. Sometimes you will experience or feel it in a way in which it is very unusual, very difficult, very frightening to see, and you feel so badly for the person. Yes, all of that can happen. You're going to go through the dark part of a person's existence, the darkest parts of a person's energy. But you're going through with a big searchlight to reveal all of that. And while you're down there in these basements, you feel cold and damp and like you're really in a situation. But then you come back and everything's fine again. Because you have tuned that you are the explorer. You are the detective. You're not immune, but you're the detective. You go in and you come out. And part of being the detective, the doctor, is you have to feel what they felt. You have to understand their situation totally. So the part of the tuning is not only just to see an image or to hear something, but to feel, even in their cells, what is going on. Now let's get practical for a second, because enough of this theoretical talk, people may start thinking, oh, this all sounds good, but I have no connection to this. But actually you do. I, like you, knew I had some kind of psychic capacity. I could understand things sometimes that were not obvious. Yet I never perfected it in the sense of really worked with it, really tuned it to others. It was just something that was there, but not really being worked with. But you can learn to use this by trying psychometry. We talked about this many weeks ago. Take an object from a person. Metal is very good that only they have used and no one else. And just hold it in your hands and feel what it is that you can feel. And just speak about whatever comes to your mind in relationship to that feeling. A cloth that only they have worn is also very good for holding the vibration of the person. Just hold it in your hand, and I'm putting my hands up here because you've got to see them, but just hold it in your hand and just feel whatever there is to feel. Just be aware. Remove all thought, preconception, prejudice, anything, and just let the images flow from the object in through your hands, which are very good for feeling. Hands feel very well. And you will find that you'll be able to start with your friends, who it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. They will be shocked at what you're able to feel, what you're able to say. And even if they don't understand it now, later on they might, because it will have some effect on them. And after all, when you're doing that, all you're really doing is feeling the vibration that's in the object. So later on, you will understand that you can do the same thing by just feeling the vibration in the person, like this. Because if the object receives the vibration from the person, you can just skip the object and go directly to the person. But you should not skip the step of the object, because it's a way to get to that stage. And feeling the vibration of the person with the hands is the same as feeling the vibration of the person energetically. Your energy feels their energy. Because after all it is your energy feels through your hands, and you're feeling their energy. So the energy feels the energy. And then after a while, you don't even need to be physically in the same place. Because energy is not something that is bound to a physical location. So you can be the antenna sitting in your room and thousands of miles away connect to a particular person's energy. And you can do it through the phone, to hear them in the telephone, and you're immediately feeling their energy through the connection of the sound vibration, or just simply the vibration of being connected. One can also heal over a distance by just creating the form of a person in front of you and working on that by taking their energy and bringing it to that form, practically like installing a deity, isn't it? Let's talk about installing a deity, because it's the exact same thing. The deity is originally just a stone or wood image. If you've ever been in Jaipur when they're carving like an image of Radharani, you will see that the carver has his foot on the face of Radharani, his fingers up here, and he's carving with a hammer on the nose. It really makes you understand it's a statue, it's an image, because the carver's toe is on Radha's nose. And they put them in wooden boxes with straw around them, and then they're thrown by workers here and there, and moved around and put on trolleys and rolled all over the place until they arrive in your temple. And then your minds and your hearts and your spirits start to transform the situation. The deities will be installed. The deities are coming. We'll make them dresses. We'll prepare them a place. We'll start to worry about how to worship them. We are expecting them, and everybody's expecting them. So we are all welcoming them by our expectation. They are coming. They are coming. They are coming. So then we put them on the altar. And then we make some kind of ceremony, and we chant some kind of mantras, and all we are thinking about is, they are here, they have come. So what we have done is we have called down their energy into this form that we have created, either directly or indirectly, and we now are directly connected to them through this form. And because it is their energy, in all reality, there is no difference between that form and them. And to make a difference is to directly create a energy against the Supreme. That's why the Shastra talks about offenses against the deity by making a difference between the deity and the Supreme. Because you've brought the energy there. You've made that deity the Supreme. And then if you go around and say, oh, it's just a stone, or it's a rock, or it's a wood, or it's a metal, then you're completely contradicting what you've done. The same exact situation is there. If you were to heal somebody from a distance, you bring them to you, you create their etheric form on a healing bench, and you work on them exactly as if they were physically there, because their energy is there, and after all you're doing is working on their energy, and they get the exact effect. This is tantric. This is voodoo. This is mukumba. This is witchcraft, white witchcraft, black witchcraft. This is mystic power. This is all those frightening, confusing, interesting, intriguing things that people fear. Because it means there's no more rules of physicality. There's no wall. There's no door you can lock, and the bad guys are out there and the good guys are in here. So one becomes afraid. Oh, oh, oh. Mistake. Because the doors are still there. You just say, I don't want you around here. Slam. Stay out. If a nasty one comes and breaks down your door, well, you get out your flamethrower and say, out, shh, burn them up. Create a big club. It's your energy. You can do it. There's no limit. Create a big club. Bam! Create anything you wish. A mountain. Create a mountain. Throw it on them. If they come as fire, throw water on them. If they come as heat, throw ice on them. Shoot arrows at them. Create a brahmastra. Shoot a brahmastra at them. So, how all these weapons are there in the Mahabharata? What is actually the capacity to do these things? It's the usage of your energy. You can do that. You just have to try it. You know how to visualize. You have power. If you believe in yourself and you practice, you can do all of this. You can sit in front of a person and communicate with their energy and have their energy speak to you in the same way that your cells can speak to you, just by tuning to the cells. You can hold the hand of another person and ask the cells to speak to you. Communication means you accept what is being said neutrally. Communication means that you have that empathetic desire to communicate. Do you wish to call your guides into a communication? You can call the demigods. You can call Radha and Krishna into your communication. Just the same exact way you can call the deity. You can call them into your communication. The same exact way. They love to communicate with you. They love it. You just make yourself neutral. and then have this great desire, and then bring them energetically into the communication. It will happen. When we communicated with Radha and Krishna, or Gaura Nithai in the tuning meditations of many years ago, we were calling them into our energy, and they were calling us into theirs. And because we were no longer afraid and we were no longer disbelieving, it happened. And listen to what they're saying, not just words. There are plans, feelings, pictures, and subtle adjustments in our energy. Every time you connect with the divine, there is a subtle transformation in your being that has a great long-term effect. So you can know for sure, how to find your way through any aspect of conscious existence, and all of it is conscious, with the same exact understanding. Remember we talked about the matrix? In the same way that you can call even the divine, you can call a person for healing, you can communicate with a tree, lay up against the tree standing up, and just feel what the tree is telling you. Feel the grass. Feel what's in the air. Connect to trees you have known. I know this sounds wild. Connect to trees that you have known in other countries in the same way. Ultimately, you can connect your energy to any part of any energy anywhere. The material restrictions cease to affect you. All right, let's be practical again. We every now and then go off into the space land of possibilities, which are real. Now let's go to how you do this. I have already given you the most powerful tools for doing this, for getting this power, for gaining just this capacity to go anywhere within the entire matrix of existence you want whenever you want to. However, we have to start small. We have to start one step at a time, as I have set it out in this discussion. Amongst all of the things that we have learned, I'm going to speak about the most advanced ones, which give specifically this capacity. If you remember the meditations where we did the triscopic vision, in the triscopic vision, what we are doing is we are using all three of our centers of visual perception, the two eyes and the third eye. And with this triscopic vision, we are capable of seeing in one dimension more than we see three-dimensionally with our two eyes. That is the first tool. The second tool in this series of three tools, two of which you know, and the third which I'm going to give you today. The second tool is the pyramids. If you look on highmedia.net main page, you will see this wonderful figure that Gaura has made. Gaura makes everything. He's just fabulous. In the way in which these two pyramids are moving oppositely of each other. Meditating on that, having that incredible geometric image right there in your head, meditating on that is part two of this incredible capacity. The third instrument is not quite as difficult. No, actually, it's as difficult as the pyramids, but it is as exciting and... Okay, I'll just tell you. Go ahead. It is related to the triscopic vision. Now, if you think about bands, like bands of cloth or rope, just try to visualize a band. I can give you a... I don't have one here, sorry. You know, like a band. You know what I mean, my friend? You know, if you were to have a, a flat cloth, right, that's about so wide. Come on, picture. So wide and skinny cloth, and it's kind of like a band of cloth, right? So one band comes out of one of the physical eye locations, but etherically. The other band comes out of the other physical eye location, etherically. Just ahead, one of the bands turns to the middle, and the other turns to the middle, and one goes over the other. Then they go further on, and then the other goes over the other. In other words, first one band goes underneath, then the next time the other band goes underneath. And you weave a kind of a cloth or braid. You braid these bands together out from your eye. You braid the bands together. It's done with one eye first, then the other. It's a pulsing. You have to do it eyes closed. It's a pulsing energy that flows out of one, flows out of the other. As they weave, they band, braid their way out into the existence in front of you. Just pulsing energy, one after the other. It's very important. It goes from side to side, side to side, just like the ping pong ball, side to side. You are coordinating your psychic energy with your two brains as they braid out, and you are reaching out with your consciousness ahead, ahead, ahead. And when you have that together, you add from the third eye a stream that weaves up and down through the braiding, making a third braid within it in that stream. So you are creating this triscopic braid of psychic energy that is moving out away from your body more and more out into the etheric space. And then if you start off with the generator, the two pyramids, yes? You start off, you're aware of the triscopic capacity. You start off with the generator. The generator creates this incredible power within you. Then you just let the generator go on, but you don't worry about it. And then you start the braiding. And with that power, you braid your psychic capacity out. It will just go with such a power. It'll be like the yogis who just shoot themselves out of the Ajna chakra to travel to different planets. You don't have to worry about whether you know if you're doing it right or not. Because when you do it right, it'll be the clearest, most powerful expression of your consciousness you have ever experienced. And with that capacity, you tap into any energy you want, anywhere, and understand it. But I tell you one thing, and you better know this for sure. Along with this power comes enormous responsibility. That responsibility is that if you try to project your energy, rather than just simply observe for the sake of others, if you try to exploit anyone in any way using this, it will burn you up. This is not an offensive, neither is it a defensive power. It is a power only for good, and it can only be used that way. You cannot use it in other ways. And when you try, it will create very subtly a destruction within you. And don't forget, the psychic police are always aware of what's going on. And we do act. I'm only saying this because there are a few people who think, wow, I can do that. Forget it. Oh, you can do it all right, but you're going to be really sorry you did. You may get away with it for a little while, but it will really backfire on you big time. But for those of you, most of you, who have a good heart, who have a good mind, a clear consciousness, and want to do good, this will give you that capacity to do everything you've always wanted to do. If you have that feeling of empathy, if you have that feeling of wishing to be of service, and wishing to be of service in a way compatible with the desires and needs of others. In other words, it's what's requested of you. You can do wonders in this world. Previously, people would say, these things are secrets. They should only be given to the initiated. They should only be given to those within the secret organizations. Yeah, but that is really a nonsense. Because within those secret organizations, you have the most exploitative people nowadays. You have the worst personalities. It's not like that anymore. It should not be protected anymore like that. The quicker you learn this, the better you understand this, the better it is for the whole world, because you'll be able to see those exploiters and you will stop them. You will stop them. You will burn up their capacity to work. That's the negativity. The real heavy negativity comes from people who are pumping it out with this tantric, etc., capacity. Join the psychic police, the army of the good, the forces of good, the white energy, that which brings down that love which should be everywhere, but not a wishy-washy kind of love that has no power, that's simply some words, but the real love that really regulates with love. Now, you know this is not just some talk, because you already have realization of what triskopic vision can do. You already have realization of what the generator, the pyramid generator, can do. You have those realizations. So you're already very convinced that the braiding is really going to bring you somewhere. The last part that really needs to be put together is that it's a calling. It's a calling. You're being called to do something important in the world. You're being called because you are part of this. It's not an accident you are part of this. It's not just because you're a bunch of ragtag rebels from wherever you are. It's because you are being called specifically, personally. You might have noticed that I am expanding our responsibilities rapidly. I am pushing you now rapidly. Previously, I was just like basically suggesting. Now I'm kind of pushing. I'm sorry for that. But as I wrote in that text, as we spoke about previously, it's time now. It is no longer time to just talk. It is time for action. It has changed. So that's why I'm being pushy. So please forgive me for the pushiness of it. But more or less, it's just something that has to be.